Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
For those who didn't watch, I ate a habanero followed by a ghost pepper followed by half of a Carolina Reaper.
Habanero, you had no problem with. You didn't even have to go for the milk.
Right.
Ghost pepper, you probably went through like a tenth of the milk. And then when you got to the Reaper, which you only ate half of, you definitely downed like another third of that jug of milk.
Yeah, I downed close to half of a gallon of milk last night. And yeah. I mean, it doesn't really help unless you're actively drinking it. So yeah. It's not a pleasant experience. And of course, then I was up this morning vomiting, even though it was long since.
My God.
Out of my stomach. But
now, did you
not
vomit
pleasant.
The last time you did the Reaper challenge?
I did not. And I think the difference this time was just the quantity of peppers that I ate.
But last time you did two Reapers, didn't you? Didn't you eat two whole
true.
Reapers?
That's true.
This time you only ate a half plus a ghost pepper and a habanero.
But this one was fresh, right?
That's true.
So I think that makes a difference. I think it does.
It wasn't any hotter than the dehydrated one.
Last time you did this was, you were at home. You did your own video stream, I think, of it.
Yeah.
Did you find that this was more disruptive during the overnight, meaning you were staying up in pain more this time than you were last time?
Oh, yes. Okay. I slept fine last time.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, it hurt the next day.
Yeah. I think the news that all three of us wanted to mention here tonight, and I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot to say about it, but Bitcoin, once again, has hit a new all-time high.
Yep, since last year, April 14th. No, this year,
this
April
year.
14th. Yep, which, and that was 64,000 something.
It was 64,900, if I according
like
to
that.
The research that I did. And today it almost hit 67, I think.
Yep, yeah, it was close up there.
Yeah, so 66, I think, is where it's floating at around right now.
I'm still expecting to see 100,000 by the end of the year. I would be shocked if we don't see it.
That's doable.
Yeah.
That
I mean, especially at this
doable.
Rate. It's up something like 10% in the last week or the last month or something. I don't remember. Because I can't just pull these up and monitor them. I have to go off secondhand information, but it's up significantly.
Yeah, I can give it to you here. Actually up 60% in the last month.
Yeah.
60. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. A month ago, it was down in the 40,000 range.
Yeah.
Wow. Low 40s.
I think at one point, it was about there. And then I didn't check it for like a few weeks. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it went up $15,000 since the last time I checked.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, it just jumps.
So, stocks are also at an all-time high.
Stocks are?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I think is more evidence that Bitcoin isn't really going up right now.
It's
as
the
much
weakening
as,
dollar.
Yeah. The dollar is getting weaker.
Some would say the dollar is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
There's currently, I think, like 18, 19 million Bitcoin in existence. There's going to be a maximum of 21 million down the line. Right now, 18.8 and change million Bitcoin. You take that number and you multiply it by the current price and you get the market cap, the total value of all of the Bitcoin in circulation, allegedly in circulation. Some of it's lost forever, but we don't know how much that is. And it's currently over $1.2 trillion.
Wow.
Yeah. It crossed the $1 trillion mark a little while back. I saw somebody post today online that apparently if Bitcoin, or when, I guess, Bitcoin crosses like in the early 70,000 range, I don't remember if it was like 73 or 75,000, but like once Bitcoin gets through $75,000, Bitcoin's market cap will have exceeded the market cap of silver.
Nice.
Wow.
That's pretty big. In fact, Bitcoin's market cap also, I believe, if it's not Bitcoin, it might be all of crypto. But I'll have to double check this. I think it's just Bitcoin. It is, I believe, now the 13th largest money on the planet. Like, if you look at all the government monies out there, I think it just, like, exceeded Sweden as far as the krona or whatever it is that they've got over there, the value, the market cap of that government money. We talked about this plan by Facebook to launch a cryptocurrency. You guys remember a couple of years ago, I think it was like 2019.
Well, they're launching a digital currency. That's about all we know.
Yeah, it's changed form in a few different ways since they first announced it. Originally, it was going to be like this consortium of different corporations that was going to come together to still make it quote-unquote decentralized, but it was still run by a bunch of corporate entities. So, like, whether or not it's actually cryptographically secure and decentralized, I don't really know what the current structure of it is. But regardless, Facebook wants to do this thing, and they made the mistake of coming out and announcing it in advance and saying, look, we're doing this thing. We're going to come out with this thing.
Well,
and
they needed investors. So they didn't need investors,
no, they
but
really
they
didn't.
Wanted investors.
Yeah, and they already had some people, like, you know, that they talked to privately. They didn't have to make a public announcement about it, but they did.
I don't know how it would have gone over if Facebook and PayPal and Visa and all of these other companies were just having secret dark room communications about it, smoking cigars.
It probably would have leaked out at some point, but if they hadn't have announced it, then they could have just released it. And then they wouldn't have had to go through this, you know, horrific governmental process that they have to go through. I mean, look, I don't feel bad about anything Facebook has to do, but at the same time, I also don't like the idea of government standing in the way of anybody doing whatever it is that they want to do.
I called yesterday, you know, to update you on the executive council fiasco where they arrested all those people in New Hampshire.
You mean the completely, like, peaceful people who weren't even really protesting in any meaningful way? They went up and arrested two people who were sitting down during this public executive council meeting where they were going to potentially approve $27 million from the federal government in COVID stimulus money or whatever that was going to be used if they accepted it to pimp the vaccine here in New Hampshire. And two people were just... two of the, quote, ringleaders of the activists were just sitting there in the audience, and cops came up and arrested them and then subsequently arrested seven more people who might have spoken out after that. But that's what you're referring to. That happened last week. And then the good news was the executive council actually voted 4-1 to reject the $27 million from the federal government, making New Hampshire the only state of all 50 states to have rejected any federal COVID money, which is amazing.
So this notice that I just got from reopeningh.com, which is run by a free stater, I believe.
That's right.
He's very close to the top. He founded it. I should back up a little bit. The news yesterday, of course, was that they were going to try – this governor was going to try an end run, and the bureaucracies were going to try to go through a fiscal committee.
Most realists disagree with on the cryptocurrency is – silver has antibacterial properties. I can make a belt buckle. I can make an arrowhead. I can make anything. I can make the most conductive solder out of silver.
Right, sure.
But crypto is fairy dust, and it's hard to wrap your head around it.
Can you send silver in an instant to somebody halfway across the world?
No, I can't, but I don't. I have very little faith in the inner tube. I mean, people get hacked all the
time. It's not for everybody, bro. I mean, I'm not here to convince you to do something you don't want to do. I'm not here to try to sell you on some sort of idea that you can't see any value in. If you don't see the value in being able to transfer value in an instant to somebody somewhere across the world, you don't trust it, well, then probably nothing I say is going to help you with that. Like, if you think the entire internet is not trustworthy, then okay, don't do it. But if you
plus
also
with silver, I mean, you have to worry about it getting intercepted or stolen or untrustworthy
some
carriers.
Some customs guy's going to jack your silver if you try to send it across the world. You could probably send it across the country fairly safely, you know, because they need a warrant theoretically to open up your mail here in the United States. For listeners that don't know, Paxos is one of the myriad of different stablecoin issuers out there. So a stablecoin is what?
It's a coin that's value doesn't change. Or is it supposed to change?
It's backed by a thing, right? So in the case of Paxos dollars, presumably the company Paxos has a bunch of actual dollars in a vault or a bank account somewhere. And they could have something that's sort of the equivalent of dollars as well, like U.S. treasuries or something like that. So some of them try to kind of do investments with the money and still have quote-unquote dollars. But basically just...
Oh, like fractional reserve banking, basically.
Well,
they don't really have the money anymore, but on the books, they say they do.
I mean, it's the U.S. Treasury. What are the chances that could ever fail?
Looking pretty good with that trillion-dollar coin they're still talking about.
So the idea is, Facebook is apparently just, they've completely gone out of their original design, which was going to be their own thing, and it was going to have all these companies on board like MasterCard and PayPal, and It seems like that's just all been thrown out at this point, and now you can just get Paxos dollars under this pilot project. So maybe it's going to change in the future, but it's just a stablecoin wallet. Facebook's going to give you a stablecoin wallet. That's what they're going to do.
Okay, not as awful as it could be.
No. The agencies that oversee the U.S. financial system are studying the risks that stablecoins pose to financial stability. They're saying, whoa, Facebook, you're going way too fast here. You can't just be coming out with a stablecoin. It could destroy all of the other stablecoins and the financial industry.
Facebook has done less evil things than destroying the American financial system.
If Facebook could destroy the American financial system, I'd go out and buy some DM. Like, if I thought that it would actually, you know, do something like
I'm
this.
I'm with you, man. I can't now, but I was initially planning on buying some because why the hell not?
Good point. It's probably a cryptocurrency, so my bail conditions would prohibit me from doing that. But if it's not a cryptocurrency and they still think it would destroy the financial system, I don't like Facebook. I don't have an account on Facebook.
I like Facebook more than I like the American government.
Yeah, although that said, I'm not willing to create a new Facebook account or reactivate my other Facebook account to do this. So I'm just saying.
If it was going to bring down the American financial system,
would
you do it?
But it's not going to, and that's the thing. These people believe that it could, and I find that particularly amusing because all Facebook is proposing is to just have another stablecoin. They're just proposing to new. The whole basket of currency thing is off the table. They said they wouldn't do that. Now, maybe they'll change their minds and decide they're going to do it again. But as of the last I've heard, DM is just supposed to be Facebook stablecoin. I'm no fan of Facebook. I quit Facebook I think it was New Year's Eve of 2018. So ending 2017, going into 2018, I shut down my account there on Facebook as much as they would let you. They don't even let you delete the account, or at least back then they didn't. You have to deactivate the account because they want you to come back. But and I walked away from it. I'm glad I did. You know, I immediately had more free time to do more productive things. I'm not a huge fan of the product that they have, and I want to encourage people to get away from Facebook, but if they can actually contribute to the destruction of the U.S. financial system through creating a dollar-based stablecoin, which there's already billions of dollars worth of stablecoins in existence today, if I were to go to CoinMarketCap and just look at the top coins out there, Tether, which is the number one U.S. dollar-based, quote, U.S. dollar-based stablecoin. Some people don't believe Tether has the reserves to actually back there.
Really?
That's a big thing with Tether, yeah. 69 billion Tethers exist, supposedly backed by 69 billion U.S. dollars. And you go down the list a little bit to USDC coin or USD coin, which is Coinbase's dollar-based stablecoin. There's 32 billion of those.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
They say the acting comptroller of the currency, Hsu, I guess that's the person's last name, recently likened stablecoins to the wholesale funding markets whose collapse precipitated the 2008 financial crisis. Quote, in terms of known knowns, a run on a large stablecoin could be highly destabilizing. Huh?
Not if they have the money to back their stable coin.
It's just so clear that they have no clue how these things work.
Well, I think Aria is onto something. If they are lying, if the stablecoin maker is BSing and saying that they have $60 billion, dollars in a vault, but they've only got $20 billion, and then somebody calls in an order on $30 billion of them and says, I want my dollars, and then they can't provide it.
That's the only way a run on these things could happen.
That would be a problem, but it would only be a problem for that one guy or whoever the people are that are trying to make the claim on those coins and the corporation. The rest of us will not be affected by that. If you don't have those stable coins, if you're not holding those stable coins...
Well, I think it would destroy the value of your stable coin.
It would destroy that stable coin.
Yeah.
But if you don't hold that stablecoin, you will not be affected by this.
Correct.
So, going on, Mr. Marcus has cited Facebook's success in securing, quote, licenses or approvals for Novi, which is their wallet, in nearly every state, and concluded that Novi is ready to come to market. To be clear, your ability to secure state-issued money transmitter licenses is not equivalent to obtaining the blessing of all U.S. regulators. If law enforcement wants to ask Facebook to get all your entire messaging history, they can do that, and Facebook, you know, is going to turn it over. So what makes them think Facebook wouldn't cooperate with handing over your financial history as well? That's all going to be public.
There's also the reality that if someone is using one of these, if they're using Paxos coin, whatever it's called now, to engage in some sort of illicit activity, they're not going to use the Facebook wallet for Paxos in order to do that. That would be stupid. And I mean, there are a lot of stupid criminals out there, but you would almost have to go out of your way to use the Facebook wallet in those cases.
Okay, they rebranded it to USDP. So it used to be called PAX, P-A-X. Now it's USDP. So that explains why I couldn't find it with Paxos here. But let me go back to the last bit of their message to Mr. Zuckerberg. The Intergovernmental Financial Action Task Force warned in a report to the G20 finance ministers that stablecoins, quote, propensity for mass adoption, meaning they think people are going to be interested in stablecoins, makes them more vulnerable to be used by criminals and terrorists to launder their proceeds of crime and finance their terrorist activities, unquote.
Isn't that the entire reason the current banking system exists? So that the United States government can launder money and fund terrorist activities? Aren't they like trying to force them to change the Facebook algorithm or something like that?
There's been talk about that. There's not like, you know, I don't know how.
I don't see any reason why Facebook should cooperate with these people at this point.
Well, that is true. Facebook did beg to be regulated. You're right about that. That was another story we talked about recently where Facebook, with this, there was like this Facebook leaker. This was, quote, whistleblower who came out and said, oh, Facebook's so bad with their algorithm and the algorithm should, you know, not promote certain controversial things and it should only be, you know, showing you the posts from your friends and not the most active ones or whatever, right? Like they had recommendations and Facebook said, well, we don't agree with this whistleblower on all the things she says, but we do agree that it's time for regulations. So Facebook wants to write the regulations,
of course,
for the internet. So look, I don't want to make it sound like Facebook's a, you know, a good company or anything like that, but in this case, the government's worse. So going on here. So they're talking about, again, the terrorism. They always trot this stuff out when it comes to crypto and stable coins. It's terrorism.
Even though
terrorism.
The Department of Justice has routinely said, hey, that's not the case. Most of the cryptocurrency transactions are actually completely above the board.
The president's working group on financial markets said in December 2020 that stable coins, quote, are likely to attract illicit actors. Southwest Airlines has scrapped a plan to put unvaccinated employees who've applied for but haven't received a religious or medical exemption on unpaid leave as of a federal deadline in December. Southwest Airlines and American Airlines are among carriers that are federal contractors and subject to a Biden administration requirement that their employees are vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 8th unless they are exempt for medical or religious reasons.
Yeah, but aren't there union agreements in place that prevent airlines from just changing the terms of the employment?
There are, and that is one of the things that I think we pointed out on a recent episode, that at the pilots union, the Southwest Airlines pilots union, they're making the stand on this thing and saying, hey, you can't just change our contract like this.
Yeah, that's one of the strong points of being in a union.
Yeah, there's a certain time where the contract comes up for negotiation. And if you want to try to renegotiate the terms at that time, then you could try that, and then maybe we'll agree to it, and maybe we won't.
So what can the union do if Southwest
strike?
They can't sue or anything like that?
But remember, the thing that happened here, presumably they can sue as well. I mean, if there's a violation of a contract, then yeah, that would be a tort. The airlines are expected to face more questions about the mandate when they report quarterly results Thursday morning. Pilots' labor unions have sought to block the mandates or sought alternatives such as regular testing, which I'm not okay with that either. Like, I don't want to have one of those things shoved up my nose every week just to keep a damn job. Not interested in that.
I've never had a COVID test, and I don't want one.
Hell no.
That's not pleasant.
It doesn't seem like it would be. I mean, and if the virus is really that, you know, contagious, why do they have to do all of that to see whether or not you have it?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Wouldn't like a mouth swab be sufficient?
It's a great point.
Otherwise, me talking to people without a mask won't transmit COVID-19, right? I see no reason that a simple cotton swab on your cheek wouldn't be enough to detect the virus if it actually exists in your mouth. And if it doesn't, why are we wearing masks?
Yeah, then how would it be so contagious? And I think, I forget if I covered it on this show, but there's weird chemicals that the Q-tips that they use to do the COVID swabs are sterilized with.
Mm-hmm. And EO, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like,
what's it stand
carcinogenic
for?
And all something oxide.
I'll look it up
but
at some point.
Yeah, it's not something you want being stuck up your nose repeatedly every three days.
It's ethylene oxide sterilization.
Yeah,
and it is, if I recall correctly, it's particularly carcinogenic if it is like taken in through
inhaled your
nostrils, which is exactly where they stick it. San Francisco, during the initial lockdowns, was one of the most locked down, if not the most locked down city in all of the United States. They basically have never given up. Like, the lockdown essentially hasn't ended in San Francisco to some extent. I mean, now you can go out, quote unquote, as long as you've, you know, got your
vaccine
and show your papers. So it's crazy in San Francisco. But In-N-Out Burger is making a stand. According to TheHighWire.com, their chief legal and business officer, Arnie Wensinger, is set to release a statement after the San Francisco Department of Health closed one of the top California burger restaurant's locations. Quote, "Today the San Francisco Department of Health closed our restaurant," he wrote. According to his statement, employees were allegedly, quote, "not preventing the entry of customers who are not carrying proper vaccination documentation," unquote. Beyond the famous California institution's location, properly and clearly posting signage.
You don't pay your average fast food worker enough to be a law enforcement agent.
And that's the point he is about to make here in this statement. So they posted signage to communicate local vaccination requirements. The SFDH, which is the San Francisco Department of Health, has attempted to require In-N-Out Burger employees to act as health police and enforcement personnel for the city. The chief legal officer for In-N-Out explains, quote, "After closing our restaurant, local regulators informed us that our restaurant associates must actively intervene." If you're just running a fast food restaurant with no alcohol, which most of them don't have alcohol, this wasn't part of your business plan, was to have a whole staff of people trained on how to ID people and how to, you know, do this vaccination stuff. So
you should never have to present your identification in order to get a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take that position.
It's really sad that needed to be said.
Yeah, that's actually what's happening here. And to this guy's credit, the In-N-Out guy, he says, "We refuse to become the vaccination police for any government. It is unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe to force our restaurant associates to segregate customers," he said. I mean, you want to talk about nailing it in one sentence right there? Kudos to this guy. If there was an In-N-Out burger, I would be going and shopping there because of this. But unfortunately, I'm pretty sure it's a West Coast only thing, right?
I think so.
I've never
heard
of it.
Yeah. In late August, San Francisco became one of the first major U.S. cities to require full proof of full COVID-19 vaccination to enter indoor restaurants.
What does that mean in San Francisco? Is that two shots or three shots?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably two.
If it's not three yet, it will be.
Yeah, eventually it will be. I don't think that's actually been rolled out yet.
It'll be whenever the federal government says booster shots are now a thing.
I'm really curious about Bitcoin.
Yes, sir.
I've done some research, and everything I've read, like on the Google or whatever, is I come away just like it's Moon Man talk. I I'm not a critic. I'm just interested. Like when you're mining for Bitcoin, mm-hmm. All right. Am I wrong in this analogy that it's kind of like playing Keno with the lottery where you're matching numbers, or is that completely wrong?
It's not complete. It's more like trying to hack a really complicated safe.
Okay.
And you don't actually do anything. So, like, all the mining is if you get a special piece of equipment, it's a special, like, computer that is targeted to do one task. At least that's with Bitcoin. There's different types of miners for different types of coins. If we're just talking about the main number one coin, which is Bitcoin, you've got to get a very special kind of piece of hardware. It has to be set up.
Very expensive.
Yep. It has to be set up in a certain way. And then it just runs. And what it does is it's trying to, what they call, mine a block or find the block or something. And that involves solving a very complex cryptographic equation.
The idea that society is accepting it as normal anywhere in the United States, that you have to give your ID if you wanted a Big Mac or whatever, is disturbing.
And it's happening, of course, it's San Francisco, where the restaurant critic, I'm just going to read you her bio. Salil Ho's tenure as the Chronicle's restaurant critic began in 2019. It's not much of a tenure. She was previously a freelance food and pop culture writer, a podcast maker, and a restaurant chef. She also hosts the Chronicle's food podcast, Extra Spicy, with columnist Justin Phillips. Her seminal work, The Racist Sandwich Podcast, covered the myriad ways in which food intersects with race, class, and gender.
The Racist Sandwich Podcast. Yeah.
That's who this person is.
I have a hard time understanding how food can do any of that.
The people making food, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, how is like, oh, here's a slice of cheesecake. Oh, you're being sexist.
And
you know,
racist.
The history of cheesecake is that blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, it was used by Italians to oppress the North Africans, certainly.
Right. Just give me the damn food. I'm hungry, okay? And by the way,
Before you eat this cheeseburger, you have to learn the full history of how it was used to mistreat Native Americans in American history.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.